Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey folks, before we start the show, I've got the online shopping special for the holiday season. Just for my listeners, the Clean Phone, the top brand in UV sanitizing, is now offering their top-rated, top-selling, best-reviewed wand product at 50% off and free 2-day shipping. The Clean Phone Wand is a handheld UV sanitizer that helps you eliminate 99.9% of bacteria and kill viruses in seconds on virtually any surface. It uses the same proven sanitizing technology employed by hospitals. Use it on packages, groceries, keyboards, tablets, money. Take it with you everywhere. At 50% off and free 2-day shipping for a limited time, it's the perfect gift for anyone who needs it. It's super portable, and with days of battery life, you can take it anywhere and make sure your environment is clean and safe. COVID cases are on the rise, so get the Clean Phone Wand at 50% right now and take 60% off a second wand. Oh my God, there's more. A great holiday gift for your family and friends. Go to thenewdealshop.com. That's thenewdealshop.com. And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I don't know any other way to fight fire, Toby.
Why are you so bent on carrying these idiot leaflets?
Because I am tired of working for candidates who make me think I should be embarrassed to believe what I believe, Sam. I'm tired of getting them elected. We all need some therapy, because somebody came along and said liberal means soft on crime, soft on drugs, soft on communism, soft on defense, and we're going to tax you back to the Stone Age because people shouldn't have to go to work if they don't want to. And instead of saying, well, excuse me, you right-wing, reactionary, xenophobic, homophobic, anti-education, anti-choice, pro-gun, leave it to Beaver trip back to the 50s, we cowered in the corner and said, please, don't hurt me. No more.
Bob Seska.
Merry Christmas, groovy listeners. This is Smokey Robbins. Have a super happy Christmas and a most successful coming year.
The Bob Seska Show.
It's here. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, December 1, 2020, and this is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,412 of the Trump crisis. Yeah, it's still continuing, but only 15 days until Inauguration Day, so let's bring him in.
When you say Bob's birthday,
you've said it all.
Boom, boom. Hi, Buzz.
Hi. Hi, Bob. Hi, everybody. Yeah. Happy holidays.
Hi, hi.
He's Bob. I'm Buzz, and we are 62% to 90% effective. Yes. I was almost late again today. You know, it happens a lot. Yeah, yeah, happened again today. Today's excuse. I went to pull into my parking space, and there was this monolith. Well, here we are. What? Not quite 3 minutes into the show now, and Trump just lost Wisconsin again.
I love it. I could watch him lose all damn day.
The Bidens, big news, the Bidens have decided to have a cat in the White House.
Mm-hmm.
This, of course, is to punish the Bidens' dog for breaking daddy's foot. COVID-19 is still with us. It's really now really messed up the NFL and their plans for a season. Here's how you know the NFL's in trouble. Just before the show, I was invited to quarterback for the Broncos.
The Bob Seska Show. Diaper Dom. Diaper Dom.
Every morning online, you could see him there whine. He stood 6'3" and weighed 239. Kind of broad at the tummy and padded at the hip. And everybody knew he had to get a grip. Diaper Dom.
Diaper Dom.
Yeah.
Diaper Dom.
Diaper Don.
Diaper Don.
Nobody seemed to know when Don would go home, though his wife was crated up and packed in styrofoam. He wouldn't shut up about Pennsylvania now, and every time he loses, he has himself a cow. Diaper Don. Somebody used that hashtag that weekend, saying it was fairly clear that he was wearing some Depends. And a crash to his ego caused a late night rant, so everybody'd know about the padding in his pants. Diaper Don.
Diaper Don. Diaper Don.
Diaper Don.
Diaper Don.
Oh. From his tiny desk, he put out a big tweet. And the coal miner said, Biden, he's a big cheat. And 80 million people put his hopes in the grave. And now there's only one who thought it was a close shave, and that's Don.
Uh-huh.
With lawyers and stories, they'd start that defense. Then came that rumble from Fox and Friends. And as power and billionaires started to whine, everybody knew it was the end of the line, except Don.
Diaper Don. Diaper Don.
Diaper Don.
Still more.
Now they never renominated that worthless twit. They just put a marble stand in front of that shit. These few words are written on that stand. At the bottom of this butt lies a big, big diaper, man. Diaper Don.
Diaper Don. Diaper Don.
Diaper Don.
Diaper Don. Diaper Don.
It's a ballad.
Oh, man, the great Rocky Mountain Mike. Holy crap.
Absolutely.
And you know, the thing I love most about that song parody is that it went on and on and on. And you know why? Because no one can emphasize enough the fact that there was the hashtag Diaper Don going around after his little teeny tiny desk presentation the other day, huh?
It was huge. It was viral. It was huge, as was the diaper you could see protruding from Trump's butt as he sat at the little tiny desk with his little tiny hands.
Yeah, fat man in a small desk, as Chris Farley used to say.
Hilarious. Funny stuff. And, you know, people were saying, oh, my gosh, who in the White House took a look at this room beforehand and said, yeah, this is fine. Let's go with this.
I love the theory that there's someone in the resistance inside the White House giving him progressively smaller and smaller desks every time he appears in public. That's one of my favorite theories about that. Yeah.
Let's keep it up. We're going to sell a lot of tiny desks this Christmas.
That poor piece of antique chair, though, that antique chair.
Spindly.
I'm surprised that thing didn't snap into a pile of kindling under his awesome girth.
I'm sure perhaps some furniture repair will be needed when the Bidens move in. You know, I saw somebody else posted we should get an inventory of all the artwork and all the other valuables in the White House. before he leaves, but don't bother with the books.
Yeah, that's right.
They're going to be fine.
Yeah, I mean, this was great. And one of the greatest things about that story was the fact that he clearly found out about the Diaper Don hashtag. Because then he was screaming about Section 230 and about how the trending items are never accurate to what he thinks should be trending. So, yeah, he knows. He knows all about it. And that made me so happy. That put a grin across my face. Because I have no idea if he actually wears a diaper or not, but I like to entertain the possibility that he might. Either way, I mean, if he's not wearing a diaper, he's going to be pissed off. If he is wearing a diaper, he's going to be both embarrassed and pissed off. So that's fine with me.
I've read that he's been wearing one for about 20 years, the effects of the drug use, and that he had to be wiped down on the set of The Apprentice.
Oh, my God. Thank you for that image.
There was a guy whose job it was to do that.
To wipe down Donald Trump because of
the... Supposedly. I mean, unconfirmed. We have a couple of sources who say, yeah, he does wear Depends.
Yeah, yeah. Noel Castler's been making quite a living going from podcast to podcast saying, oh, yeah, Trump wears a diaper. And that's that's the best source I think that we have from you know, because I guess he was Noel was a writer on The Apprentice or something like that.
He was part of that staff. Yeah. And I've seen at least one other sort of attempt at confirmation of that you know, that he does. And you know, we've talked about the signs of drug abuse before, and certainly that came with it. You know, Elvis died on the toilet. And again, there are so many comparisons, I think, between Trump and Elvis. But Elvis died on the toilet from taking too much speed, and the autopsy showed that his colon was, quote, chalky and impacted.
And it weighed 40 pounds.
Yeah, and that's the effect of amphetamines, which he took to try to lose weight.
Yeah, I mean, who said all those years on the Don and Mike show was useless? I think that we learned lots from the Don and Mike show.
You know, just a side story, since you brought it up, because I have a side story. As the song says, I love to reminisce.
That's right.
When my own colon ruptured and nearly killed me 20 years ago or whenever that was. Oh, yeah, I've had a lot of fun. When that happened, and this has been, like I said, nearly 20 years ago, I gave to my doctor, my surgeon, the surgeon who saved my life, I gave him a copy of the book about Elvis's autopsy. And it began with a conversation of me asking my doctor, do you know how much Elvis's colon weighed at the time of autopsy? And he was immediately fascinated. And when I gave him the book, he was so grateful. He said, oh boy, beach reading.
Spending a nice warm summer at the beach, lovely tropical scene, you know, a beverage sitting right there, and
that was
a book
his idea
about Elvis's autopsy.
That was this doctor's idea of fun. But the point of this is the similarities, the continuing similarities that I have noticed between Trump and Elvis.
Oh, that's right. You know, I've always noticed that when Trump either sits at a desk or stands at a podium, his ass sticks way out. Like when he's standing at a podium, he leans way forward. He almost like leans his bulk against the podium itself. It's like he lifts up his stomach and lays it down on the surface of the podium and then leans way forward. So his ass is sticking way out. And if you see it from the side, you can't help but to notice.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious from profile. And it seems to be an attempt to balance out the weight distribution.
Yeah.
I can't tell exactly.
See, now, this is what happens to the show. Donald Trump loses the election, and then we get to spend the first, you know, 10 minutes or so talking about Donald Trump's diapers. See, to me, that's victory. That is
It's a little freedom. It's a little freedom we haven't had the luxury of having until now.
Yeah, that's right. The odor of Donald Trump's diaper is the smell of freedom.
Oh, stop, it's stop, stop.
Smell of America laughing again, right?
Too descriptive.
Yeah, yeah. So how was your vacation? How was your Thanksgiving week off?
It was excellent. I mean, I did get some rest and recreation. I also got a lot of things done, projects that I've just been really itching to get to.
Yeah.
I made the best Thanksgiving turkey that's ever been made.
Yeah.
You know, I did some power washing.
Yeah, and extended your reach on Twitter as soon as you posted your turkey tools, you know, and accoutrements.
Here's the secret to success on Twitter, because you can post all the serious stuff in the world, but if you post a picture of your kitty cat or of your Thanksgiving turkey or whatever, people go nuts and you get gazillions of responses.
That's right.
It's quite a phenomenon. It always makes me smile to see that phenomenon.
Yeah, it makes me smile and makes me wince all at the same time.
Oh, sure.
See what gets retweeted, what gets traction on Twitter. Because, you know, I'll post something that I spent, you know, most of the day on 2,000 words, 1,500 words, writing up something that I've been thinking about and hypothesizing and researching. And then if I post that, it gets a, you know, a decent number of views on Twitter. And, right. and then when I post just like a random FU to Donald Trump, or I say ha ha to a Republican getting COVID, then it gets all kinds of traffic. I don't know. I don't know what works and what doesn't over there.
Something but, about being entertaining. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, speaking of, excuse me, as I gasp here for breath. Yeah, I don't. I swear to God, I don't have it. I didn't get it. But that's
no. It doesn't sound like it. It sounded like you choking on your own saliva.
That's what I did. As gross as that might be, that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, speaking of work, I worked 3 days out of my 5-day vacation. I worked Monday. I wrote a piece for Salon, so that was most of my day on Monday. Not a vacation. Tuesday. I kind of had a vacation, but I spent a little bit of it on John Melendez's podcast. I got to be on Stuttering John's podcast again, and that was a lot of fun.
That doesn't count as work. That's okay.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. And the same with Wednesday. I was on the Stephanie Miller Show, as always.
Right, same thing.
Well, the point is, I actually love doing this stuff. So to me, it's not work. It's just I just do it because I enjoy doing it, especially being on Stephanie's show and so on. So people complain to me. They go, Bob, why don't you just take the week off? Why don't you just stop working? Why don't you just get off Twitter? You said you were going to take a vacation. And it's impossible for me. It really is impossible for me.
I can tell. And it was for me in a way in terms of breaking news. And it never fails. When I sit down for dinner, that's when the breaking news. So, you know, even on vacation, it's a time to sit down for dinner, ding, 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 something comes in, and, you know, I feel, well, this is really important, I need to share this right now.
So,
I won't be doing that forever, but it persists even during vacation. So, I don't know if you can call it work or not, but, I had to keep paying attention, and I continued to collect stories so that, 8 billion newspaper emails wouldn't pile up in my absence. So, I tried to keep up with that, and watch the news and watch Rachel and, and so these are investments in time. And again, not really work per se, but this sort of constant occupation. Coming here to do your show is not work for me. Right. It's a break. It's a break in the work that I do to prepare for my show.
Well, let's dive in now to all of the continued fuckery that's going on with the election. I mean, I love that Donald Trump keeps losing. I mean, you joked about it in your monologue.
Right.
He just keeps losing and losing and losing. And I love observing the constant losing. It's like every day we're treated to another example of Donald Trump losing. And it's no fucking wonder, because this isn't about winning anything in court, what Donald Trump is up to right now. This is entirely about the big goddamn grift. This is all about bilking the suckers of their hard-earned money.
And sabotaging Biden's presidency. I think those are his two main goals. Yeah. When he was, in his mind, legitimately trying to overturn the results of the election, the purpose then, I think, was to avoid the prosecution he knows he's facing the minute he leaves office.
That's right.
That having failed, his only gambit at this point is to, as you said, raise money, but also, just in case he skates, to sabotage the Biden presidency, giving him a political platform to continue raising money on.
That's right. Well, I mean, since Election Day, according to Robert Reich, who posted this, I believe it was yesterday, Robert Reich said, since Election Day, Trump has broke all fundraising records for his so-called defense fund. $170 million so far. But it's nothing but a political slush fund for when he leaves office.
Correct.
And this is one of his biggest cons. This is one of his biggest scams. He's getting all of these people, all of these poor suckers. I shouldn't say poor, because you know what? They're grownups. They know what they're in for. They know what they're doing, or at least they should know what they're doing.
But they are deluded. They worship this man, and they believe and follow everything he says. Mm-hmm. They are hypnotized in that respect.
Yeah.
And so, that's out the window. And as I've said before, had they been better educated, they would not have been susceptible to a con man as they were.
That's right.
I love quoting things I've seen on Twitter. I love the thing that I saw that said, if you don't believe Trump is a con man, then you are the mark. and it couldn't be more true. Trump tweeted, "We cannot let Democrats steal this election from your all-time favorite president. I'm calling on you to fight back. No, this isn't a Twitter. This is a tweet. This is a solicitation for donations.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm calling on you to fight back, in all caps. And there's the pitch is, we need to bolster our critical election defense fund if we're going to keep going. We can't do this without you. So, but what is it he's doing, really? Well, he's just raising money for whatever he may need, whether it's paying off his debts or a legal defense fund or a run for 2024 that I don't think he'll really do, but he may raise money for a 2024 run, but he is not running in 2024.
Yeah, you know, let's talk about that for a second, because I mean, I kind of agree with you. I kind of agree that he's not going to ultimately run, but what I do think that he's going to do for the next 4 years is pretend like he's running. Pretend, yes. Because, I mean, again, the ongoing cynical cash grab. This is what this is all about. Right. This is the big Donald Trump cynical cash grab.
Where mostly,
he,
yes.
Yeah, where he's performative, he can still do his rallies, these all feed his ego, feed his Q score, feed his visibility, and at the same time, he can just raise all kinds of money from these deluded suckers who continue to support him during a recession that he caused. I mean, that's the great irony of it.
Make no mistake, his other goal is to sabotage the Biden presidency from within and from without. Why does he want to do that if he isn't really going to run in 2024?
Yeah.
Well, because the lesser man, in his mind, beat him. He told his people over and over again, can you imagine me being beaten by Joe Biden, of all people?
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And then they cheated six ways from Sunday and still lost, the Trump campaign did.
Yeah.
And it is for revenge, if nothing else. Trump wants to sabotage the Biden presidency. He does it from without by disintegrating American faith in our election system. And he does it from within by purging the government of career service employees and of sabotaging the departments that Joe Biden is about to inherit, almost at least trying to guarantee failure or at least great difficulty for Biden.
And one of the first things that needs to happen once Donald Trump is gone is Congress needs to propose legislation, probably coming from the House side, unless, you know, we have a good fortune in the Georgia runoff, that they need to close that big loophole. They need to make it impossible for an outgoing president to sabotage the next president. It was very obvious. I mean, I don't know exactly how that's going to be achieved. I mean, it almost seems like you would need to make a constitutional amendment. I mean, something that is airtight, that the president will have no choice, whoever the president might be, will have no choice but to adhere to the rule of law on that. Because what we've seen from Trump is you can pass all kinds of laws, doesn't necessarily mean he's going to pay any attention to it.
I think there's, as I recall, and this was introduced, a year, 2 years ago? We lose track of time. But isn't there an HB1 out there floating somewhere that is all about government and especially presidential reform?
Yep.
That stands ready to be passed. The Biden administration, the transition team, has made it clear that their intention in this administration is to take steps to make sure this kind of thing never happens again.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a real determination out there. I don't think we have to worry about this being forgotten. You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, now it's all over, so these things aren't as pressing. I think there's a real focus on fixing things so that this sort of thing can't happen again.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the meantime, speaking of the Georgia recount and what will happen with regard to the makeup of the Senate, one of the things that they're doing as part of this cynical cash grab right now is the concept is being floated around that the Republicans should just boycott the Georgia runoff, which is my
there
favorite idea. Why don't they do that? I mean, please, please do. That's a neat trick. Try
what
that one.
Yeah, what could go wrong for them?
I know.
That's exactly it. And this is why I feel more confident, at least, not certain, but pretty darn confident that Democrats are going to win both of those Senate seats in Georgia. Mm. We need to keep donating money. We need to keep talking up the candidates. They are terrific candidates. But at the same time, Republicans in Georgia have turned against Brian Kemp, the governor. They have turned against... They've turned against, they're yelling, Trump supporters are yelling at Kelly Loeffler, and they're yelling at David Perdue, and they're yelling at RNC Chairman Ronna McDaniel. McDaniel and the two Senate candidates, Loeffler and Perdue, would love to be telling their voters, Trump voters, mistake, that this is about saving democracy from the evil socialist Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
If they could run on that, they could build up a Republican voter excitement and retain their seats in the Senate. But that's not happening. They're having rallies. Especially Perdue goes to rallies, he goes to gun clubs, he goes, makes various appearances. And while he tries to talk about the socialist Democrats, he's being ignored by the crowd who are shouting him down, saying, what are you doing about to help Donald Trump and to stop the fraud? They're still focused on the election they've lost and are paying little to no attention to the Senate election coming up. There's this anger, the backlash toward Republicans in Georgia. And then you come in with, also correct, this threatened boycott that's reached hundreds of thousands of Republican voters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the cost, this is the price of associating yourself so closely with Donald Trump. This is the cost of the Trump campaign and the Republican Party becoming one.
That's right. And all at the same time, Buzz, what they're doing is they're talking about how if mail-in votes continue as a way that we can cast our ballots in elections, that Republicans are just going to keep losing. I mean, that's what we're hearing all over Fox News Channel, all over Red Hat Twitter and so on. Is that, oh yeah, these mail-in ballots, that means Republicans are just going to keep losing election after election after election. And you know what? I'm cool with that. You know, what they could do to counter that is to actually say, hey, Trump supporters, hey, Republican voters, why don't you vote by mail, too? But they can't do that because Donald Trump has just spent an entire year saying how it's flawed and it's a scam and all the rest of it. So they're falling into that trap again, Buzz, right here with the Georgia runoff, because there's mail-in same voting thing for the Georgia runoff as well. So, yeah,
it is the same thing. They have not just Trump has not just damaged democracy.
Yeah.
Trump, and by they, I mean the Republicans who have stood with Trump either by remaining silent or by joining him in these claims of fraud that are obvious lies. So they've tied themselves so closely to this, they're going down with the ship at this point if they keep hanging on. There's a backlash against Republicans by Trump voters, indicating a real rift in the Republican voter base.
What they're going to do is maybe start proposing the concept of Donald Trump starting his own political party. Another idea that I'm totally cool with, if they want to split the Republican vote with the Trump party and the whatever the remains of the Republican party are, I'm totally on board with that. Please go knock yourselves out. That's fine with me. It's just more fun for us. Yes, indeed. So,
but with and with Trump leading the way, leading them on as their shepherd, with Trump as my shepherd, I shall not want. they have bought into this whole thing that you can't trust the voting system, you can't trust the Dominion counting machines, the Dominion voting machines.
Yeah.
What's the guy's name? Brian Raffensperger or something like that, the Secretary of State in Georgia?
Yeah, yeah.
Raffensperger, something, I believe, is it. He's kind of a good guy. He's a Trump supporter. He voted for Trump. He donated to Trump. But he stood up for democracy, as some local Republican officials across the country have done, including Republican legislators that Trump had hoped would help him overturn the election results. Mm-hmm. So God bless them. You know, we appreciate them standing up for country over party. And quite a few of them actually did and may have saved us a great deal of grief in this, saved us from a constitutional crisis, really.
Yeah.
But by condemning these voting machines and condemning the system, they can never vote legitimately again. So it raises a question as to the value of any kind of a Trump campaign or any kind of a separate party, for that matter, going forward. They think the machines were programmed by a dead South American dictator.
See, that right there, that plus Dominion, plus mail-in voting. These are all things in which Donald Trump and his red hats are just naming nuts. They're just rattling off a list of things. We used to do this thing with Alex Jones, where Alex Jones, if he wanted to sound conspiratorial without saying anything specific, he would just start listing the names of villains like Bechtel, Raytheon, and Bilderbergs, and Trilateral Commission, and just going on through the list of just random names that he's plucked out of his head that sound sinister. That's what Donald Trump is doing right now, just screaming, Dominion, and oh, look at Milwaukee, and oh, look at Philadelphia. Philadelphia and look at this. And it's just, it's nothing specific. It's just, here's the name of a pot. We're going to frame this name as a boogeyman. Dominion boogeyman.
Raffensperger's first name is Brad, not Brian. I apologize for that. Brad Raffensperger, this poor schmuck, has tried to talk. He's tried to talk to his fellow Republicans and said, look, the Dominion voting machines you voted on, we went back and recounted all of the ballots by hand at the demands of your boy Donald, and we found that the numbers matched almost perfectly. Mm-hmm. We found no evidence of any vote tampering or anything wrong because it all matched the handwritten ballots. Yeah. We checked them all, every single one. Furthermore, the verification of the hand ballots, he said, are then processed by other Dominion machines. And, you know, so, but again, I think what Brad Raffensperger is finding out is what Democrats have known for the past 4 years is you can't talk to these people. They're not interested in facts or truth.
No.
They know how they feel, and that's all they care about.
That's right. And meantime, did you see this story? In fact, Rachel talked about it, I think as part of her A block last night, with the Arizona governor, Doug Ducey, no relation to Steve Ducey. From what I understand, he has been pestered relentlessly by not only the vice president, but also by Donald Trump himself, calling him on his personal cell phone to the point where Ducey had to change the ringtone to whenever the White House calls to have Hail to the Chief playing. And so yesterday, while he was certifying the vote in Arizona, during the hearing, his phone started ringing and Hail to the Chief was playing. Donald Trump was calling him to pester him during the goddamn vote certification.
More than pester. Donald Trump was calling to stop him.
Right.
Donald Trump was calling to stop him before it was too late. And it was already too late. Raffensperger wanted Hail to the Chief as a ringtone on his phone. He wanted people to know when the president of the United States was calling him. Because back then, he and Trump were good buddies. Mm-hmm. That all changed when Ducey certified the results of Arizona's election.
That's right. Well, you know me. I want to know, will future presidents, will future specifically Republican presidents, engage in this same kind of bullshit where they're pestering governors, they're pestering boards of canvassers? I would love to know the exact details. I would love to have a readout of some of these phone calls. What is Donald Trump saying? Because already the rumors are coming out, Buzz, from the White House. I mean, the calls are coming from inside the House, in which they're comparing Donald Trump to Mad King George. Like, he's just wandering around the White House, I guess, talking to paintings once again, saying, just mumbling to himself, I won, I won, I won. The White House staff is getting concerned that Donald Trump has lost his spadoinkle once and for all. And certainly we've heard these kinds of stories in the past. But now it seems like it's starting to really manifest as being a public story, as being an actual thing that maybe we should be a little concerned about. I don't know.
Well, I apologize for laughing there at the beginning, but you said future Republican presidents. And I just had I thought, well, maybe, I don't know. That doesn't seem likely, but sure. I don't know. I think most people know, a voting majority certainly knows that this is not how a president behaves. So I'm not sure this sort of character will be an immediate threat to us in the immediate future. I for one, am not ready to think about 4 years from now yet.
Yeah.
I want to get Biden into office. I want to get the Senate, what I believe will be a democratically controlled Senate into seating. And, then maybe we need to begin to look at some of those things, but, just not a concern of mine at this point. And I just don't think, and I think if some of those steps are taken by the Biden administration and by Congress, we can prevent a lot of that behavior in the future. It's interesting because I remember a few weeks back you talked about, you were a little concerned about Ivanka running or Don Jr. running.
I just saw
a poll. Let me see if I have this on my phone here about what Republican support is. And my contention at the time was that the support for Trump is all about Trump.
Yeah.
It's all about that cult figure, and that no one can really take his place. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine anybody else stepping into that situation.
Right.
Bookmarks. Here we go. Here's a national Republican primary poll without Donald Trump in the mix.
Okay.
Here are some possibilities. Rick Scott gets 0% support.
Okay.
Tucker Carlson gets 1%.
Mm.
Mike Pompeo gets 1%. Tim Scott gets 2%. Kristen Noem gets 2%. Tom Cotton gets 2%. DeSantis gets 2%. Rubio gets 3%. Kasich gets 3%. Ivanka gets 4%. Romney gets 5%. Nikki Haley gets 6%. Ted Cruz gets 7%. And Donald Trump Jr. gets 20%.
Oh, my God.
Not just, you know, not even one in five are willing to support any of these clowns. So I'm not worried about them coming back. I think by 4 years from now, the country will be more clear. The hangover will have worn off,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And the country may be more clear-eyed about the good and bad, or just the bad, as it turns out, of Donald Trump.
And, you know, I want to pick up on this topic, but during the post-mortem show, because I have some things to say about... there's an assumption, and I don't want to get into a discussion about it here in the free show just yet, because, again, we're talking about 4 years from now. We're still, Joe Biden hasn't even been inaugurated yet. And there's a lot of people who are assuming Joe Biden isn't going to run again, that he's not going to run for re-election in 4 years.
Oh,
and just by way of a preview, I just want to say, stop assuming that. Assume that Joe Biden will run for re-election, because as soon as you start, now I'm getting my whole rant about this.
Yeah, Bob will explain why he believes this in the post-mortem show today.
That's right.
So be sure and listen. It is, after all, Giving Tuesday. So...
Sure.
If you're feeling generous and there are podcasts you like, please feel free to support them.
That's right. BobSeskaShow.com, Patreon.com/BobSeskaShow. If you'd like, $5 a month gets you the post-mortem show. Two of those every damn week. We just keep talking after the show's over, and we make that its own little thing. Yeah.
See what I did there with the thing you wanted to talk about?
I really do appreciate it. Is that a thing? Is it Giving Tuesday? Is that the theme for this date?
It is Giving Tuesday. We have
Cyber Monday.
Giving Tuesday. Saturday was a local shopping day, Small Business Saturday.
Yeah.
And then you have Monday, and today is Giving Tuesday.
Okay, what's Wednesday? What happens tomorrow? Should I brace for something that I'll have to do tomorrow? Am I going to be left out if I don't?
Tomorrow is Pardon Wednesday.
Pardon Wednesday, okay.
Yes.
That's where Giuliani gets his pardon. All right, well, we'll talk about that in a second. Meanwhile, the holiday season is the one time of year we all get to indulge in our favorite traditions and feel like a kid again. And no matter what you celebrate, everybody shares in the spirit of giving, whether it's giving gifts to our favorite people or spreading cheer to everyone around you. This year, give yourself and the ones you love an opportunity to look as young as the season makes you feel with Plexiderm. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes, visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines, number 11s, and crow's feet too. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. The results are going to last for hours, so you can relax surrounded by loved ones knowing you're always looking your best. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon, and it's cheaper than a round of hot cocos for you and your loved ones. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal at checkout. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
Oh, yeah, this is I Hate You, Just Kidding. One of my favorite band names. I always got to say it. I Hate You, Just Kidding.
Wow.
It's a song called Fallen from their Constellations album. I hate you, just kidding.bandcamp.com. Yeah, we're doing our, we started it last year, so this would be the second annual December in which we've played all women recording artists, women vocalists, women recording artists, women bands, and so on, and featuring all the women recording artists from the past year of indie music here on the show. So, kicking things
that
off with
song.
That. Yeah.
That song is so pretty and so soulful. Mm-hmm. I've made it the ringtone on my phone when you call.
Thank you. See, yeah. No. See, you got to change it to Hail to the Chief. That's what I demand, the adulation, the ego boost. Okay, so let's see. So it looks like, as we said before the break, Rudy Giuliani is likely to be pardoned. That seems to be the story that's been floated by the White House today, that Donald Trump will pardon Rudy Giuliani at some point before the inauguration for future crimes, I assume. Maybe his part in the quid pro quo with Ukraine. What?
A blanket pardon, and Trump would not be the first president to issue such a pardon. I don't have all of them in front of me, but I know that certainly in the case of Gerald Ford and Richard Nixon, that was a pardon for any future charges.
Yeah.
Now, if Nixon had gone out and shot a guy on Fifth Avenue, he could have been arrested and prosecuted for that.
Yeah.
So he was not pardoned for anything he might do. He was pardoned for anything he might be charged with
once he
leaves office.
Okay.
So that's how that works, and they are legal. Perhaps they shouldn't be, although Jimmy Carter, I believe, used it to pardon draft evaders.
Yeah.
Before they had been charged, to issue a blanket pardon to protect them from those charges. So, and that's a more proper use of of a blanket pardon like that. But yeah, it could happen.
Well, I wonder if he's going to get pardoned for that spooge that was running out of his hair. You know, I think we only were able to talk about that on the after party before the vacation. So we haven't really talked about Giuliani's hair dye running down his face.
Yeah, no, that happened, I think, Thursday night after your last show.
Yeah, there it is. Of course it did. Of course it happened right after our last show. That's the
way
it always
works.
But
look, you got hands down the pants, standing in front of a porn store, shoe polish or mascara running down the sides of his face, Rudy Giuliani, saying the most ridiculous, unsubstantiated things. It's hard to imagine a man willing to embarrass himself to that degree. And now he's gone to Trump. I mean, we don't officially know who brought up the subject, but you know who brought up the subject.
That's right.
He went to Trump and he said, "Boss, I think I might be in a little trouble with New York State. Could you just, you know," first of all, I mean, a pardon from Trump won't protect Rudy from state charges.
No.
But, so I don't know what he has in mind. I don't know if the feds have been. I think the FBI was looking at Rudy last summer when they were looking at Lev Parnas and Lev and Igor, I believe. Is that I've forgotten the guys' names.
Yeah,
now.
Lev Parnas started DMing Kimberly for some reason. I mean, the Lev Parnas.
That's cool.
He was asking her to retweet some of his stuff, to promote some of his tweets on Twitter, and he just kept tweeting at her for some reason. Now Lev Parnas has entered our lives here. This is the most bizarre thing. So and so she had to actually tell Lev Parnas to stop DMing her, and she kind of said, "I don't like you. Why would you please stop contacting me?" So I said, "Yeah, thank God."
Lev is intriguing. I think, wasn't it Rachel who interviewed Lev Parnas?
Yeah.
And I found him to be a sort of a charming and remorseful for the really crappy things he did.
Mm-hmm.
I think if he's willing to redeem himself, but I mean, he should still, of course, be charged and be punished for the things that he did. But I feel like there's kind of a good, likable guy in there somewhere.
But, back to Rudy Giuliani, I'm trying to decide whether Donald Trump chose Rudy Giuliani to head this this effort with the trying to toss out the election, trying to rig the election here after the fact. I wonder if he chose Rudy because he doesn't really give a shit what happens legally. He's just, this is all this cynical cash grab.
Right.
If he chose Rudy because no one else would do it. I think.
Also true. Both.
Yeah.
Both.
I think it's both. Okay. Right. Both.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It is true that no one else, no other legitimate. I mean, he started out with a few legitimate law firms to represent him in court and challenging the elections. And when it became ridiculous and when it became obvious that there was no evidence, and as these lawyers, big time lawyers, began to get laughed out of court, ridiculed by judges. They all stopped. They said, we don't want to play anymore, and that just left Rudy. At that point, like I said, there was a point at which Trump really wanted to overturn the election results to protect himself from prosecution.
Yeah.
When it became clear that that wasn't going to happen, well, that's when you put Rudy in charge and let him run the circus from here on out. Mm-hmm. And because that part has already been determined.
Yeah. Well, something else that they're talking about, there was a, I was thumbing through my copy of The Washington Times, as I normally do every look at The Washington.
DC's real newspaper.
That's right. Thank you, Mr. Liddy. By the way, did you notice that Tom Liddy, G. Gordon Liddy's son, is now involved in the defense against Donald Trump's lawsuits, or at least he was I believe it was Arizona. So somehow there's a good Liddy out there.
Yes, there is. Tom is a lawyer, and from what I've seen as well, he appears to be on the right side of things. So that's pretty exciting. It's very gratifying for those of us who had to endure Mr. Liddy's radio show.
That's right. So
I did news on that show at one point.
And I was yelled at by G. Gordon Liddy one time because of your goddamn David Letterman photo. Yeah, Buzz, right. Getting me in trouble with a Watergate burglar. That's one of my favorite stories of all time.
He could have killed you with a drop of nicotine the size of a head of a pin.
I love every single G. Gordon Liddy story, every tall tale, everything down to how Mrs. Liddy would make a chocolate cake frosting that you could snap like a twig. I mean,
you want to know what's wrong with Bob and me? Well, this is it. This goes back to we were traumatized by a Watergate burglar in our youth.
So you had in your newsroom, and I'll get back to the Washington Times here in a second.
Sure you will.
You had in your newsroom something that was really goddamn cool. It was an 8x10 black and white photo of David Letterman that was autographed by David Letterman, and it was framed. Right. It was up on your newsroom wall. The radio studio, the air studio at WJFK, had a giant window that would look into your newsroom. So where Liddy was sitting in the air studio, he could see out of his peripheral vision the David Letterman photo on the wall.
The gap-toothed smile of David Letterman. That's right.
That's right. And so I'm there. I used to get into JFK when I was interning for you, Buzz. I used to get in relatively early. I'd get there about 8:30 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning somehow. And I'd be there tearing stories off the AP wire or something, getting things prepped for you. And in walks G. Gordon Liddy, Watergate mastermind G. Gordon Liddy. And he says to me, "Hi, Pockets." He used to call me High Pockets because I'm tall. It was either Stretch or High Pockets. He's really creative with his nicknames. So, "Hi, Pockets, take that photo down of that guy smiling with his gap-tooth smile." I said, "Oh, you mean Buzz's photograph of David Letterman, Mr. Liddy?" "Yes, take that down. It's distracting." So apparently during his show, in which he spent the first hour reading the newspaper, literally, he would sit for the first hour of his three-hour show. So one-third of his show was nothing but reading aloud the newspaper. And this 8x10 photo, which had to have been a good 12 to 14 feet away from him, was distracting to him. And so I said, "Well, it's not my photo to take down. You'd have to talk to Buzz or maybe Don Geronimo." And this, that point, Liddy just makes a noise like this. And then turns around and walks out of the room.
Like the penguin.
Just like the penguin. Muttering something under his breath because he knows now he's opened a can of worms. Now it's going to be another episode of G. Gordon Liddy versus the Don and Mike Show. And it was going to play out on air. So that was the story. And then from that point forward, if I was in the restroom, if I was in the bathroom, and there was one restroom at WJFK that everyone used, including listeners that would show up in the lobby.
Right.
So I'm standing there in the restroom at the urinal, and who appears next to me at the urinal but G. Gordon Liddy? And I discovered that I was so terrified that G. Gordon Liddy was going to murder me that I could not pee. I developed pee shyness thanks to G. Gordon Liddy. And though he didn't, and it was only when he was in the bathroom. I mean, if you're standing there at the urinal and the mastermind of the Watergate break-in, who once burned his arm over an open flame.
He bungled it.
Yeah.
He bungled the break-in. Always remember that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I should have kept that in mind. I would have been less terrified. But I'm not afraid to admit something really embarrassing was induced by this guy who carried some sort of ninja blade in a holster around his lower leg in lieu of actually being able to carry a firearm, because as a convicted felon, he couldn't carry firearms. So he would just carry this blade that I assume he could have just ripped my trachea out with one swift motion, one smooth.
I can kill a man with a pencil.
God damn it. Oh, that makes me laugh so much. Okay, so where were we, Buzz? We're
traumatized. Well, like G. Gordon Liddy, you were reading the Washington Times.
I was reading the newspaper out loud. So the Washington Times posted a full-page ad today. A full-page ad in the Washington Times calling for Trump to declare martial law and therefore call for a new election. That's the level of desperation they've reached now. And by the way, it's not going to happen. That's never going to happen. I mean, in fact, the rumor right now, Buzz, is that the Republicans are getting ready to cut bait with Donald Trump in 2 weeks when the Electoral College votes.
I was laughing to myself about this earlier today because I do remember saying on this show, 2 years ago, more than 2 years ago, that I said, just you watch. I said the Republicans will abandon Donald Trump as soon as it becomes politically expedient or necessary for them to do so.
Yeah.
Well, Bob, that finally came. Who knew it would be in the last 60 days of this administration?
That's right.
But I do think that's here. And because Trump has, we were talking about this earlier, disparaged the election system and disparaged Republican officials and Republican candidates in Georgia, this is something that the Republican Party will now pay for. This association is allowing themselves to become the Trump-Publican Party. That's worked out great for them up until now.
Yeah.
And now it's going to cost them the Senate. I'm certain that it will.
Yeah. Well, and along those lines, the great forgetting has begun. The great flip-flop on behalf of the congressional Republicans is underway, and it kicked off this week. Cornyn. In fact, it kicked off today with John Cornyn, and we're gonna talk about John Cornyn and the great forgetting right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius. Doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Woke up in a rush at the same dream again. Only been asleep for an hour. Get dressed in the dark, gotta make your 6 a.m. Leave the bad thoughts in the shower. Cause you're still not making any money.
Oh yeah, this is recording artist Zanny. Z-A-N-N-Y is her name. And it's a single called Spent. It's the name of the song. Debuted on this show in May, and of course on the Indie Music Countdown at the end of that month. ZannyMusic.com is for Zanny. And also BobSeska.com/music if you want to submit your songs to the show. And by the way, if you do, we're holding all new music until January. after the holiday break, because we're playing all women recording artists from the past year.
You know, for my money, guys could just stop making music and just let the women do it.
Because, that's right.
Man, that's great stuff. I have a lot of favorite women artists, and you're adding to my list with the ones you're introducing.
Yeah, and you know, this past year, and God help me, I forget exactly when it was I did this, but I watched the new documentary about the Go-Go's. And it really made me appreciate the concept of focusing more on women recording artists. I mean, no offense to the guys, of course. We play lots of guys, too. But I like to spotlight the women, because I didn't really know this until I saw this documentary, that the Go-Go's are the highest charting all-women band ever. Wow. And I'm shocked and a little disturbed by the fact that there haven't been more of those, more all-women bands who are charting as successfully as the Go-Go's. You have to go back to the 70s and 80s to find something like that, which is a shame. So,
They're trying. They're trying. The daughter of my business partner over at the Rel Network, Mark Ronick's daughter, Maya, when asked at a much earlier age what her goal was in music, she said, "I want an all-girl band that's as big as the Beatles."
Oh, that's right. And the name of their band is...
something really good.
Carousel. It's Carousel.
That's right. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
Carousel. Yes, based here in Maryland. So, God, so much music. I can't wait for this goddamn pandemic to end so I can get out and see some live music. And speaking of female recording artists, I mean, Flying Jacob, who's going to make an appearance again this month, I'm sure, they're just up in Baltimore. And so I'm just... one of my new favorites from this past year. I'm dying to see Flying Jacob up in Baltimore as soon as this goddamn chaos is over.
About 45 minutes up the road.
There you go. Well, okay, so moving along here, The Great Forgetting is underway. John Cornyn has officially launched. Well, it's kind of two things happening at the same time. John Cornyn was speaking on the floor of the Senate this morning, and he said, "I will not support any nominee who doesn't provide full transparency into their work on behalf of a foreign government. I will not do it. The American people deserve to know if these or any future nominees are beholden to anything other than our national interest. Go F yourself, John Cornyn."
Who woke him up? You know,
Jesus.
Yeah, because, you know, that's what's been going on with this administration all along.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether it's Ukraine or Russia or countries in between or to either side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not surprising. It goes back to that whole thing. No, I didn't. You did. You know, it's that routine again. And no, we shouldn't let him get away with that or the other thing he's trying to pull.
Well, and in the meantime, you would think, okay, well, the Republicans are going to hold off for a while jumping on anyone who uses Twitter, right? We're not going to do that because it's going to call attention to Donald Trump. But oh no, oh no. Of course they're going after Neera Tanden for tweeting things that are polemical on Twitter. Heaven forbid that actually go on. So Neera Tanden, who's being nominated by Joe Biden to take over OMB, is now persona non grata. She is now the lightning rod for the conservative entertainment complex, the Red Hat entertainment complex.
And you can't win them all. I mean, if Democrats win the Senate, and I think they will, then that won't be a problem. If we don't, then Neera Tanden and perhaps other nominees will fall by the wayside as well.
Yeah.
That's part of the risk you take when you nominate somebody or when you allow yourself to be nominated. It could be rejected. You know, there are other candidates, I'm sure. I'm sure she's qualified. I know from her own personal upbringing, her own personal experience, I think she's qualified.
Yeah.
But fortunately, she's not the only one. So, well, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, they're applying this hypocritical double standard to Democratic nominees that they would never dream of applying to Republican nominees.
Well, wait until Sally Yates gets nominated for AG.
Yeah,
That'll wipe any concern about Neera Tanden off the table.
Folks, that's why we have to win the Senate in Georgia, both of those seats. So It would be also Forgiving Tuesday. Might be a good day to give to John Ossoff and Reverend Warnock. So
consider that. Yeah.
Well, important.
You know, the great forgetting, it seems like it's underway now, but it's been underway for maybe since April of 2019, maybe since the beginning of the plot against Hunter Biden, because that is all based around the concept of nepotism, giving a family member. This is the accusation. I'm not saying this is actually the way it is, but this is all based around the accusation that, oh, we can't have that where someone in authority is giving their child something that they probably don't deserve. That's bad. Stop it. Even Donald Trump is saying that without any self-consciousness whatsoever.
Yeah. We're not hearing that. We're not hearing that from Ivanka or Don Jr. or Jared Kushner.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're actually hearing it from them, too. They're actually in the process of saying the same. Well, Hunter Biden this and Hunter. How did Hunter Biden ever get this job and earn that much money? And who is saying this? That is the great flip-flop. That is the great forgetting. And that is going to be the newest. It's not new. It's something they've done before. But this is going to be the resurrected way that they own the libs for 4 years.
As long as Donald Trump lives and breathes, he will be the force that is followed by Republican voters.
That's right.
By the majority of Republican voters. And nobody has the power over those voters that Trump has.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, no Republican, not Ivanka, not Don Jr., no Republican has the power to lead the party from there.
Yeah.
Those voters, as they've demonstrated to the Senate candidates in Georgia, are interested in one man and one man only, and that's Donald Trump.
That's exactly right. Well, meanwhile, this is some positive news. I was happy to hear this, and I was happy to troll Donald Trump about this on Twitter. By the way, I would love it if just one day he would notice what I was tweeting at him. I would love that to happen. I don't know if he does or not. I don't know if he looks at his mentions at all. But, it'd be gratifying.
Clearly he does some. He certainly looks at the trends. But I'm sure he sees some immediate responses to some of his stuff.
Well, at the very least, I hope he's seen this from whoever has tweeted it to him at one point or another. But Joe Biden is way more popular than Donald Trump is right now.
Oh, yes.
The latest Gallup poll, I'm sure you've seen it, Buzz, has Biden's favorability at 55%, while Trump's has dipped to 42%.
Right. Biden's up by 6. Trump's down by 3. So the gap has widened there. Yeah. And, I knew this would happen. I sort of predicted this. Remember when I said, and you may have laughed aloud at the time, when I said some folks are going to come around. And only a few have so far, but enough to move that needle. Obviously, Bob, there's been some kind of change in the national feeling about Joe Biden, and it is for the better. So you're right. This is very, very good news. It's a start.
Right. I'm trying to square this with the fact that Donald Trump ended up with 10 million more votes than he got in 2016. So
I know. And although Republicans increased their turnout, Democrats increased theirs and increased it more.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, meanwhile, Donald Trump has lost 124,000 Twitter followers, while Joe Biden has gained 1,081,164. Followers on Twitter, so suck it, Biff.
Yeah. Oh no, is the time over already?
Yes, it is, but there's a lot more to talk about, and we're going to push all that crap over into the post-mortem show, as we were saying earlier. As soon as this music is done playing, we keep on talking. If you're only listening to the free show, when this music ends, there's nothing but silence. You're left there alone in your car or in your living room or at the gym with nothing to listen to. So what are you going to do? Well, here's what you got to do. You got to go over to bobseskashow.com. It's our Patreon page. If you want the more complicated URL, it's patreon.com/bobseskashow. And if you sign up for $5 a month right there, you got more stuff to listen to, because Buzz and I are going to keep on talking when this music is done playing. And we call that the Postmortem Show. Post that every Tuesday and Thursday on our Patreon page. We're going to talk about firing squads. We're going to talk about Michael J. Fox. I teased this before the first break. We got to stop assuming one term for Joe Biden. I got a little bit of a rant about that coming up.
That's topic A coming up.
There you go. Meantime, Buzz Burbank News and Comment every Thursday. It's going to be the best hour and a half, 2 hours, 5 hours of news that you get all week, depending on what's going down. So that is at buzzburbank.com. Also, realmnetwork.com. That's R-E-L-M network.com. Also, everywhere you get your podcast.
Thank you. It's a little over an hour, probably, and we're down to six. I've got six more after today.
Meanwhile, the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network is your podcasting superstation, sexyliberal.com. For all of your favorite programs, make sure to give us all a five-star rating and review on your favorite podcast platform while you're at it, including Buzz Burbank News and Comment, of course. And let's see. I think that's just about it. I'm hesitating here because I was about to preview our interview show for tomorrow, and I have not yet confirmed our guest for tomorrow. I have not It'll received that confirmation. Yes, it's going to be good. It's going to be suspenseful because you might not know who it is. You're only going to find out at the last minute because that's when I'm going to find out. So we're all in the same boat together. Okay, that's it for the show. We will see you on the Wednesday interview show, and then again on Thursday, and then again on Friday, and on and on and on and on into the holidays. Okay. Take care, folks. Bye-bye.
I said he's the host. Don't ever talk to the host that way.
The holiday season is the one time of year we all get to indulge in our favorite traditions and feel like a kid again. And no matter what you celebrate, everybody shares in the spirit of giving, whether it's giving gifts to our favorite people or spreading cheer to everyone around you. This year, give yourself and the ones you love an opportunity to look as young as the season makes you feel with Plexiderm. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that gives your appearance the right kind of changes, visibly reduce wrinkles, fine lines, and even under eye bags in just minutes. Plexiderm even works on laugh lines, number 11s, and crow's feet too. Take up to 10 years off your appearance in less than 10 minutes. The results are going to last for hours, so you can relax surrounded by loved ones knowing you're always looking your best. Even better, Plexiderm doesn't involve any visits to a surgeon, and it's cheaper than a round of hot cocos for you and your loved ones. You can try a 6-application trial pack for just $14.95 with free shipping when you visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal. This order also comes with free shipping and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Make those wrinkles, lines, and under-eye bags disappear with Plexiderm. Visit buyplx.com/sexyliberal or call 800-685-1292 and say the code sexyliberal at checkout. Thank you.